Good morning, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Gilbert Cardona.
Mr. Cardona. That's a roll. Okay, the Honorable Miss Rittenhouse is going to conduct her hearing, so just hold on one moment while she gets her paperwork together, and she'll be with you very shortly, sir.
Getting the paperwork here. Okay, Mr. Cardona.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please start by, just restate your full name and your ABC number for the record, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Gilbert Cardona. My number is 088042.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a parole hearing. This is for regular parole. It's for a parole to a consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Those are the two things that we're hearing for today. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board that are present today. If you look to your right, all the way at that end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right in the middle here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And I will, my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I will conduct your hearing today, sir. So what I'd like to do is to start by just giving kind of a brief summary of kind of facts and situation here. And I'll ask you and make sure that I have things correct. So, every now and then I'll ask, is that correct, as far as you understand? It looks like you are 48. And you were certified for 412B parole, which is to a consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Right now you're serving 25 years to life, is that right, for the crime of murder in the first degree. And it looks like you have two consecutive sentences, but those are going to run concurrent to each other. One of them is for burglary in the first degree for 7.5 years, and the other one is theft for 3 years. Is that your understanding?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you've already done, you have an armed robbery for 10 years that was expired?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that sentence is done. Okay. All right. And these crimes occurred on, looks like, February 1st, 1991 and February 8th, 1991. You were about 20 at the time?
Yes, ma'am.
20 years old? Okay. And you were convicted in a jury trial on October 2nd, 1991, and then sentenced on November 4th, 1991. Okay, and it looks like you had some prior criminal history that were kind of some firearms charges. And you received some probation for those?
Yes, ma'am.
The prior? Were you still on that probation at the time of this crime?
No, ma'am.
No, okay, so you were not on probation. Okay, it looks like you have some discipline in prison. You have 12 majors, it looks like, over all this time. And the most recent one was, it looks like, a minor in March 27th of this year. It was for disobeying a verbal order. Do you remember what that was about?
Yes, ma'am. After the disturbance on March 1st, there was a bunch of animals that were hurt and wounded, and I was taking care of them, and subsequently they wrote me up for taking care of the animals.
Oh, was it like, you mean like cats that are in the yard, or?
Oh, there's some cats and some birds.
And birds, okay. Yeah, usually there are those around prisons. It looks like in 2016, in March, you had a major for fighting. What was that one about? Do you remember?
Yes, ma'am. I was trying to mentor a younger individual, and his friends didn't like it because, they wanted him to hang around with them more. And I was trying to keep him away from the riffraff that happened to be in here.
Okay, kind of trying to be a good influence on him and steer them away from that. Okay, understood. All right, let's see, what else? Looks like you've done some programming. You've done an upholstery program?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you become interested in that?
I was in, I believe, in Florence at the time, and they had an upholstery class there.
Mm-hmm.
And since I worked construction trade when I was out on the streets, you know, I figured it was a good thing to have under my belt. So, you know, when I did get released, I would have something to fall back on.
Yeah, I have visited that class, and that is a nice program that they have there. It looks like you also have taken some life skills classes, cultural diversity, conflict resolution, domestic violence, smart recovery, it looks like. And did you finish your GED, or did you already have your GED?
No, I finished it here, ma'am.
All right, good. Congratulations for that. That's an excellent accomplishment. And let's see, we have, looks like you have a couple of letters of support from the community. We have no representatives representing the victim today, and we don't have any supporters in the room for you either. Do you have family in Arizona, sir?
Yes. My family would have been there today, but they're still recovering from the loss of my father, and they're still paying off the funeral costs and everything else, and they couldn't make it today.
Understood. Okay. What part of Arizona are they? Where are they located?
They're in Tucson.
They're in Tucson. Okay. Okay. All right. And what family do you have then? Your mother still, and your brothers and sisters?
Just my brothers and sisters. My mom, she passed away from pancreatic cancer, and my dad passed away not too long ago.
Okay, so once...
He died at home. He choked to death.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Please accept our condolences on behalf of the board, sir. So, Mr. Cardona, why don't you tell us a little bit about the crime? It involves breaking into a plasma center?
Yes, ma'am.
Kind of what was going on in your life at that time? Why would you do a thing like that? And kind of fill us in, try to help us understand what happened.
At the time, I was unemployed, and I was in need for some money to make sure I had a place to stay in, had a roof over my head and some food in my stomach. And I've been there before to donate plasma and to get money. And I knew there was money on the premises, so I broke in to get the money to pay the bills and keep a roof over my head.
Okay, and were you married at the time? Did you have kids, or what was your life like?
At the time it was just me and my girlfriend, and I have no kids, and we were just trying to make ends meet and just, you know, try to stay out of the streets.
Okay, and was this in Tucson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Tucson. All right, I thought it was, but I couldn't remember. Okay, and then was there also something involving a taxi cab?
Yes, no. That was when I and another individual had called Ronald Brown down to the Circle K and actually took him out to the desert and means of robbing him. And things went awry. And, he lost his life, and you know, I take full responsibility for that. And you know, I'm trying to make amends for it as best I can.
What did you mean by things went awry? What happened? Tell us what happened.
Well, the whole thing was to get money, and that was it.
Uh huh.
You know, when he was out of the taxi, a shot was fired, and then when I got out, I found him on the ground.
And who fired the shot?
My co-defendant.
Okay, so but you were there, and you weren't able to stop him,
no.
Or you didn't try to stop him. Okay,
no.
So you took him out there with the intention of robbing him only, not murdering him. Okay, so. All right. Do you owe restitution, sir, for this crime?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how much? Do you know?
Yes. I owe $408 restitution on this.
Okay, all right.
And on the burglary, the Plaza Center, I owe $2,000 restitution on that.
Okay. So one of these occurred on February 1st. The break-in, I guess, is that the one that occurred on the 1st of February? The
Plaza? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then the murder was on the 8th of February. Okay, all right. Let's see, what else was I going to ask you? I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Cardona? Okay, sir. What would you say, if you were sitting in this chair, what would you say to us to convince us? How have you changed? How are you different? Why should we give grant you parole?
Well, I mean, it's easy to open a file and pick open a file and read through it and make a determination that way. But judging an individual by knowing him and by interacting with him is totally different. If you were to look at me when I first came in, as opposed to now, totally different, night and day. If the state had it still allowed it, I would have officers that would actually speak up and tell you the exact same thing. I've changed totally. I'm an open book. I don't cause trouble. I stay to myself. I don't do nothing. I rarely go out on the yard. You know, I'm just tired of this life, and I just want to get home with my family. You know, it's I was wondering if you got my recent paperwork that I sent you guys.
Well, we have a big packet here. So what was in there? We had an older parole plan from you.
I sent it out on the 4th, and it contains my recent programming certificates, as well as a certificate of gratitude from the unit that I'm at. Because after the incident in March 1st, when the riot occurred, I was one of the people that were instrumental in helping rebuild Cheyenne Unit and get it back up and running. I work in a trusted position. I work in maintenance, and I have an inmate letter response that from an officer there, an SSU officer, that I asked a couple of questions to, and I put it in my packet so that you guys can see that the people that have been around me for years, that can watch me from camera to camera, go to work and go directly home and not do nothing. You know, they. And they're all for me going to my next number and getting closer to getting out, because you know they've noticed the change in me, you know, throughout the years and everything. I've been on that yard since 2007. You know, and if I could see if I was a troublemaker and causing waves, that they would automatically get rid of me. But they haven't yet because I've changed.
Okay, you do have a number. I'm kind of paging through here while you're talking, and you do have a number of letters in here, but they seem to be older. I'm almost back to the back here. Let's see. I'm looking for anything current. You do have a lot of certificates, an awful lot of certificates in here from transitional thinking. I see...
I believe you'll probably receive the packet I sent you after our hearing over with.
Oh, and that could be. That could be. All right. You've completed a CDL course, it looks like.
Yes,
ma'am. Some self-study in Spanish.
Yes.
You get to get a lot of practice around there. Domestic violence,
yes.
Cultural diversity. All right, so were you, at the time of the crime, were you on using drugs or alcohol or?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I was using drugs and alcohol.
Okay, and what drugs have you used, sir?
In the past, I've used cocaine and marijuana and alcohol, that's it.
Okay, so no heroin, no meth?
No meth.
Okay. And when's the last? Go ahead.
In my incarceration, I've never had a dirty UA. I've given up everything and devoted to turning my life around.
Okay, sir. When's the last time you used cocaine?
I believe February 8th was the last time.
Okay, February 8th of the day of the crime was probably the last time. Okay, sir. Well, you said a little while ago, you said, I'm an open book. So what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Well, like with my conversations on the yard with the officers, right? I converse with them constantly, you know, as my job requires it, and they find me to be open and honest. So because of that, I was given an opportunity to work in the maintenance area, mm-hmm. right, which is a trusted position.
It is.
When I was given the job, they told me straight out, this is your job to lose. I gave them my word that I wouldn't betray their trust. And to this day, I've kept my word. I've never betrayed their trust.
Did you feel like you didn't used to be an open book before? Maybe back when you committed the crime? Were you different?
No, I was totally different.
So how were you different?
I was reckless. I didn't care about nothing, you know, I didn't look to the future, you know, I was primarily in the moment. The only future I looked to was just trying to keep a roof over my head, but at the same time, that wasn't the right way to think. You know, I should have been out there looking for a job, you know, looking to better myself, but I was just headed down the wrong path at that time.
And you said you had done construction in the past? Is that the kind of work you
yes.
do in construction work? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
But now you do maintenance around the facility, so you probably know a lot of different, you know, plumbing, electrical, you probably do all kind of stuff?
Yes, plumbing, electrical, HVAC. I've worked on anything up to 480 to 277 voltage, and whatever they need. I'm one of the maintenance workers that's constantly on call. So they'll wake me up at 2 a.m. to go fix something or change something, and that's my job right there.
Okay.
Whenever they need me, they call me.
All right, well, it's good to have somebody like that. Okay, without seeing any other questions from fellow ward members, I'm gonna go ahead and give you an opportunity to make a final statement if there's anything else you've thought of that we should think about as we make our decision, sir. Is there anything else?
I would like to ask the board if I could please go to my next number and take that next step towards getting out. If you give me an opportunity, I won't let you down.
Okay.
You know, I understand that there's been many people before you that ask for the same thing, but they're the ones that are constantly coming back. The recidivist rate for them is immense. But the recidivist rate for lifers is less than 1%. And all I'm asking is a chance. That's all I'm asking.
All right, Mr. Cardona, thank you for that statement. The board's going to go into discussion, and we do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we haven't talked about your case before right now. And we will have our discussion, just ask you to remain on the phone or just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you, sir. Okay? Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Cardona is certainly a very articulate individual, and I appreciate that very much. He kind of gets to the point. He has some goals for himself. I appreciate very much that he is in a trusted position, and I do know that the kind of work that he's in within the prison is a trusted job, and it sounds like he's earned his way there. He is aware about his restitution that he owes, probably based on the court order. He probably does not have to start paying that until he's released. That's generally how it goes. He admits to having been on cocaine at the time of the incident. Says that his co-defendant was the one who actually did the murder, but since he was there and did nothing to prevent it, and he is doing time for murder. I would like to hear some input from fellow board members. He does still have another 7.5-year sentence to do, at which time he would revert back to this and then have to be paroled from that. But in the meantime, Mr. Quinones.
I will say, this is just to move along the discussion, but I do hear the change in him, the way he communicates, the way he presents. I think that's even, and again, I'm not accusing him of this, but even for someone who's sociopathic, it's a little hard to communicate that sentiment. My concern is discipline he's had over the last 40 years.
Right.
And that's kind of the road bump for me. I don't want to be dismissive of the seriousness of this crime, but there was a victim, and it was a very serious crime. But I do want to acknowledge that I believe him when he says he's not the same person he was when he first entered the prison system. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments, Mr. Johnson?
I think he was able to articulate and sounds as though he's really ready to make that change. He does have some recent discipline, which he kind of explained. He said he had the bite in 16, which he was trying to mentor a younger inmate that was in there. And, you know, the other friends of the inmate didn't want him to. They wanted him to participate, which caused a confrontation for him, and that's the main one that I was looking at. I know he is disobeying verbal, but you know, and listening to him, I think, you know, what he said, he's just tired of being in there, and you know, he's not just asking for a chance to prove himself. He has been working, and he has taken several classes since he has actually been there and been incarcerated there in the in the prison, that he's taken several classes, that he's proven himself with working with some of the people. He does have several numerous certificates that he's sent us that he's actually been involved in. He's going to go to another 7.5-year sentence, and then he would, before he gets out, would revert back to I think the life sentence. I think that's the way it goes before he would get out. I would be willing to do like he asks, is give him the opportunity to prove himself during this next sentence that he has.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other thoughts, Dr. Wright?
Yeah, I still find myself somewhat on the fence. However, the one thing that was brought up, and maybe I missed something, is the role that he played in attempting to end the problems that they had down there at Yuma, because they had some serious problems, at least according to the press, and that's my information coming from the media. And it seems to me that he was attempting to, we don't have it, maybe it's in that package that we don't have, but it seemed, just listening to him, that he was attempting to serve as a person who was trying to keep things calm during that period. And it was a serious period, according to the media, and I guess I'm willing to take his word for it. I just wish we had that package that he sent, that he submitted, that is probably somewhere in the mail between here and Yuma. But I think that if he did do that, if he was helpful, I think that I would be willing to give him a chance. Although I'm on the fence, I would be willing to give him a chance.
Okay, any other comment? Mr. Neal, any comments?
No, I tend to agree with my colleague on this.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then, and then my motion is that we grant 412B parole to Mr. Cardona, and we deny absolute discharge.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second to Mr. Johnson, agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. And release, time granted is 412B to a consecutive sentence, release not denied is absolute discharge. And 412B, parole will say, continue to abide by institutional rules, partake in available programming, refrain from disciplinary infractions. Okay, Mr. Cardona? The board has voted unanimously to grant you 412B to your next sentence. I like that smile. It's always nice to see a smile. And you heard the discussion. I mean, we're a bit concerned about the recent disciplinary, but you explained that to us. And we appreciate very much your assistance after the disturbance and that you were able to help restore order as one of the kind of the leaders down there that and you're mentoring other inmates, and even if it got you involved in the fight. So we appreciate that, appreciate you being direct and articulate and honest with the board. We've all felt that you were very honest with us, so we appreciate that. So work with your CO3, we'll have a little more information. It always takes a little time for the paperwork to catch up. But you'll start on that next. You've got those two concurrent with the 7.5 year being the longest. And then at that point, you will revert back to the life sentence but have an opportunity for parole to the streets. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay, so good luck to you, sir, and keep up the good work. And we will we'll see you again in, I don't know, 5 years or so, and wish you the best. Thank you so much for participating in your hearing today. And your hearing's concluded, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.